Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, March 27th, 2015. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the growing regional war in the Middle East, especially as it has engulfed Yemen. What's going on there? Who are the people there? Why should we care? In Yemen, a country on the southern border of Saudi Arabia, a 1,100-kilometer border with Saudi Arabia, a country with both Red Sea and Gulf of Aden coast, thus a very important country to the oil industry and to many of the other countries there. In Yemen, a group known as the Al-Houthis has been fighting an insurgency since 2004. The name Houthi, also called Ansar Allah, or Supporters of God, takes its name from Hussein Badruddin al-Houthi, who started the uprising against the Yemeni government in 2004 and was reportedly killed that same year in the fighting after the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003. The al-Houthis, who up until that time had been somewhat moderate, became radicalized, anti-American, anti-Jewish, and they started the uprising in Yemen. The Houthis have spread across Yemen and are in control of the capital of Sana'a and other cities in that country. The government, that is the government of Mr. Saleh, has been driven from power. Yemen is basically now a lawless country in a state of full-scale war. The Houthis are from a sect of Shiite Islam found in Yemen, but also shared with the Shias in Iraq, in Lebanon, and particularly in Iran. While they drove former President Ali Saleh from power, they now align themselves with him. See, Mr. Ali Saleh, very much supported by the Americans and by the other regional Gulf powers, now driven from power and supported by the al-Houthis. That's right. Now, they support him now for over 30 years, and reportedly in dictator fashion. Mr. Ali Saleh ruled Yemen. He looted tens of billions of dollars, reportedly, allegedly, from that country for his own benefit early on. Saleh was supported by the U.S., as I said, and the regional Sunni Middle East powers. He kept things in order there. But after he was forced out of the presidency, Yemen was found as one of the poorest countries in the Muslim world, and that's saying something, folks. Almost no infrastructure, almost no schools, almost no medical facilities. Hundreds of thousands of children and other people malnourished. The Houthis had the popular support of Yemen, in other words, in this uprising to oust al-Saleh from power. But now they side with him because they knew a dictator of Washington's choosing is in power, Mr. Abu Hadi. So they joined Saleh in a fight against Abu Hadi. Meanwhile, back in the present day, back in the Middle East, in Iraq, it seems to be collapsing into a total region-wide sectarian war. The collapse of so many repressive but strong rulers, strong regimes, has unleashed wars of succession across the region. Author V.S. Naipaul, spells his name N-A-I-P-A-U-L, who writes about the Middle East and is considered a giant in the field. That's no exaggeration, folks. Read his book, Among the Believers, which came out in the 1980s, but is still a classic of that genre. He has a long interview recently with the U.K. Guardian newspaper, which by itself would make for an interesting podcast. But for now, Mr. Naipaul lays a lot of the blame for the problems in the Middle East with the fall of Saddam Hussein, especially the rise of the Islamic State. He said that Hussein, while an unsavory character, was modernizing Iraq, not trying to return it to the 7th century, as the Islamic State is trying to do. Hussein was the cat, he said, the cat that kept the rats of Islamism at bay. And in the absence of Hussein, the cat, the rats ran riot. and they're still running riot today. That's obvious. Throughout the Middle East, the story repeated itself in Libya, Egypt, Tunisia, now in Yemen. So what is all this sectarian violence about? Basically, it's about ancient battles. Battles going back hundreds of years for supremacy between rival populations of Shia and Sunni Muslims. Strong leaders like Saddam Hussein kept these ancient sectarian ethnic battles suppressed, but now these forces have been unleashed. This has drawn Shia Iran with its proxy states in Syria, Lebanon, the government in Iraq, and now Yemen into cross-border wars with Sunni-controlled Saudi Arabia. Iran is the leader of the Shia-dominated bloc, and the Saudis are the main force seeking to stem the Iranian advance. The Saudis are acting on their own, since the United States now seems quite content with Iran being the new regional leader and acquiring nuclear weapons to help in its role. This obviously threatens the power of the Saudi royal family and makes them very, very nervous. Thus, the Saudi royal family has spent hundreds of billions of dollars modernizing its military, especially its air force, since 9/11. Yemen is a desirable target for Iran, not just because it borders Saudi Arabia, because it is vital to Iranian efforts to control the sea lanes into and out of the Persian Gulf. If you control the flow of oil out of that region, you can make the West pay a very high price for any attack. So the Saudis, with their air force, cross their border and attack in another country. They're not adept at this kind of thing. They have no proxies, as Iran does. Iran uses proxies, then sits by to watch the fun. But the Saudis can't do that. They have to use their own military forces. Back in Iraq, then, there is a now four-week-old battle taking place there for the city of Tikrit, a very important battle, as the Iraqi military and their Iranian military forces seek to oust the Islamic State from Tikrit. The United States has been flying close air support, mission after mission, for the Iranian troops fighting there. But the U.S. is providing logistical and intelligence support for the Saudi efforts in Yemen. So it seems Washington fights for different sides in different places. What then is the ultimate goal of the United States in all of this? How will we know when that goal has been achieved? No one seems to know this. No one seems to know what victory will look like or what the goal even is. But Egypt and Saudi Arabia say that maybe, possibly, when the Saudi Air Force has softened up the al-Houthis, they will send ground troops into Yemen to clean up the mess. The president of Pakistan was recently in Saudi Arabia. He went there the other day to talk to King Salman, the new ruler of Saudi Arabia. They talked about Pakistan joining the Saudi coalition against the Iranians. But I'll bet they talked about some other things, too. Maybe transferring nuclear weapons from Pakistan to Saudi Arabia, perhaps. The Pakistanis say they have not made any decision at this point. Finally, folks, let's look at the scorecard and see if we can figure out these players. Well, in Yemen, the movement started with Hussein al-Houthi, who led a movement against the dictator of Yemen, Mr. Ali Salah. The dictator was supported heavily by Washington and the other Sunni Arab states. Mr. Salah was driven from power by the al-Houthis, and a new dictator, Mr. Abu Hadi, took over. Now he's supported by Washington. And the al-Houthis support Mr. Salah because he's not the dictator anymore. Mr. Hadi is. So both sides change sides. Washington fights with Iran in Iraq against the Islamic State, and they fight in Syria, Lebanon, and now in Yemen for the other side. The Saudis have war on both borders, north and south. In the south, they fight a war in Yemen. In the north, the Islamic State threatens their northern border. Even on the east of Saudi Arabia, in 2011, I think it was, they invaded Bahrain to put down a Shia rebellion there. So the Saudis, the Saudi royal family, very much threatened and very much having to scramble and fight for its own power. Iran threatening to completely dominate the Middle East. Very confusing, isn't it? But that's the Middle East, folks. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.